All right, if you got your outline, like I mentioned, I put all the scripture in there except for one that we'll start with tonight, and that came to mind tonight on the drive into church and sitting in the office. I thought of another passage of scripture. So if you want to turn to 1 Samuel 22, and then also put your finger in 2 Samuel 23. I'm just going to look at just a couple verses in 1 Samuel 22 and then 2 Samuel 23. We'll just be there for a moment, and then we'll get right to our outline. I enjoy the life of David. There's so much I've learned through the years. I've read numerous books by other good men that have written about the life of David, and of course the Word of God. And I've enjoyed the study and going beyond just some of the stories, but also some of the things that David went through and the prep that he went through. And I heard and read in a book, just kind of whet your appetite, I read in a book one author, I can't remember who it was, but he basically said, in referring to David in one of his acts, he referred to him as madmen kill cockroaches with shotguns. David had a temper. And David at times flew off the handle and overreacted on some things. And there's some things we can learn from that on how he handled it, the way we should have handled it, and how God dealt with him. There are several stories through the life of David, but I thought something that came in mind, if we're going to talk about stress, and I've titled this, Stress Can Lead to Burnout. It doesn't have to. And we'll see that in a few moments. But you know, stress, I think, is a vital part of our life. But it's whether we handle it or it handles us. So before we get into our little study, notice with me in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 1. Now, just the backdrop here, things are not going well in the community, and David is fleeing once again for his life. But notice here he says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now notice this motley crew. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in discontent, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves together unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Everyone, a bunch of misfits. They couldn't pay their bills. They were frustrated with the new king and all that was going on. And Dave went to the cave. Why do people go to a cave? To escape. How do all these people know? There was no telegraph. There was no telephone. They only had telewoman back then, right? Come on. Oh, I'm just having fun. How do they know? The word got out. And by the way, ladies, I know, tell a man probably travels faster than tell a woman these days. But word got out, and all those people joined David. And the Bible says they were 400 that gathered. Now, I'm not going to take the time. We'll teach on this another time. But I thought it was interesting. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 23. We just talked about 400 misfits. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 8. And these be the mighty men whom David had. We'll just stop there. So now we've went from a bunch of misfits in 1 Samuel to to mighty men in 2 Samuel. Something took place between 1 Samuel 22 and 2 Samuel 23. There was some training, there was some discipline, there was some growing, there were some things that took place, and no doubt there was a lot of stress and probably some burnout too. And after all, when you're running from the king and he's trying to kill you, and those who join you, I mean, why did they join with David? He had a target on his back. But that's exactly where they went. And folks, it's so much about church growth. In fact, let's take it down to where the rubber meets the road. So much about Christianity and about discipleship and about mentoring is about leadership. Those willing to mentor, those willing to be mentored, that they might become mentors. And that's how we multiply. It's not through division. We multiply through training, encouraging, growing, and teaching others. Back to our outline that you have here, your little handout. Stress can lead to burnout. Matthew chapter 11, I put down several passages of scripture, not a whole lot, just some here and there. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be stressed out. Don't over worry. Don't be anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Psalm 3:5-6. I lay me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So often we let things get to us and we forget who's still on the throne. And hey, it's only human. Believe me, I worry as well. No one here in your first blank here, no one can or should want to escape stress. You may disagree with me, that's fine, we'll talk later, but wait till I'm through, maybe you will see things a little differently. No one can or should want to escape stress because it is a vital part of our lives. It's going to take place. It's more stressful to try to escape the stress. If you think about it, if you've ever been in that position, it's a vital part of our life. However, when stress is internalized, there's where the problem is. Rather than dealt with, it becomes deadly. Anyone who's had cardiovascular problems, had heart problems anyway, probably have been told something about stress, anxiety, and certain things, and foods. In other words, don't have any fun, don't go outside, don't let people provoke you. That's not living, is it? Here are three tips to help the leader, missionary, pastor, or layman in dealing with stress. Because it really doesn't matter whether you're a pastor, church planter, missionary, evangelist. If you're serving the Lord, you're going to find bumps in the road. They're going to find you. And that's just, it's what it is. So I want to, again, talk to you as leaders in the church. Those to be developed and to grow, and those of you who are capable of not only developing more, but also capable of developing and helping develop others. Number one, take charge of your life. That's kind of an oxymoron. Bear with me. I know God is in control, but we have to make the decision to allow God lead us. We have to make that decision and stand on it. Take charge of your life. If you don't, who will? Make up your mind that you are going to discipline yourself to effectively use the necessary tools to defeat stress. We have those tools to defeat stress. Sometimes it's just taking ourselves out of it. Other times it's asking for help. And sometimes it's just realizing I can't do it all myself. Here's a couple suggestions. And the first one is ouch for me. Lose weight. Man, I have lost probably 500 pounds over the last 50 years. Problem is I've gained and lost the same 20 pounds over and over and over again. But you know, control your eating. Have a healthy diet. Stay away from things that you know that cause inflammation or cause you to have problems, because that can also be a point of stress. Letter B, exercise regularly. And I'm not talking about jumping to conclusions. I'm talking about walk, swim, ride a bike, walk the warehouse, walk the living room if it's too hot or too cold outside, but have some type of activity. And then thirdly, there's C, take a regular day off. Read. I've got a note here. Read, relax, rejuvenate. I am working on this. I take an hour or hours sometime during the day, a two here, one to two here, and take some time to go down. But it's been a long time since I've taken a full day off. I know I need to, and it's hard because I enjoy what I do. I enjoy being around God's people. I enjoy studying. I enjoy preparing. I enjoy those things. So sometimes it's hard, but I've promised Michelle I'm going to do my best to take a day off during the week, and we're going to go out and we're going to do something. I may push the buggy while she shops. We'll go out and to a restaurant, but we're going to get out and walk and do some things to get away from. And I have done better in this area. 90% of the day, I hate to even say this, my phone is on silent. To study, to do other things. It still vibrates. And I've also used one of those blockers where if it's not identified in a known number, my phone doesn't ring. Boy, it doesn't ring near as much as it used to with one of those robo-spam call killers. It really is a miracle. Because the way I look at it, and you folks know, if you call me and I don't answer, text me. And if you text me, if I'm not busy, I'll get right back to you. Some of you have texted me this week. Brother Clay did this morning. We shared a song after our devotions. It was a blessing this morning on Christ the Messiah. I do answer, but it also depends on when and what my schedule is going. But I'm working on that. So take charge of your life. Number two, seek God's wisdom for balance. I know this sounds spiritual, but stay with me. It's more than that. Seek God's wisdom for balance. It's crucial. And it is spiritual, but it's also very crucial to seek that balance. And I think wisdom will help us to have the balance that we need. I often complained, and I should say more like present, I often complain that there's not enough time today to get everything done that I want to accomplish. Anybody agree with me on that? There's never enough time to get done what I want to do. You know what? I've learned something about that. That is flawed thinking. It is. It is. And I've been guilty of it. And guess what? I'll be guilty of it in this coming week. It's just who I am. I always feel like I need to do more. But here's the flaw in it. God did not make a mistake putting 24 hours in a day. Amen? He made no mistake in putting 24 hours in a day. There is a time of rest, there's a time to work. So in other words, ask, how much am I trying to do that is not God's will? How much in that day that I'm trying to cram in, that I'm trying to do that is not God's will? Is it God's will? Would God be pleased for me to take a day in a week and spend with my wife? Absolutely. Family is important. It is. But I've got to plan it. I've got to work it. I've got a calendar on my desk, and my problem is I've got everything on it, but sometimes I've got so much on my calendar I can't see my calendar because of other things that I'm working on. But my secretary, my sweet wife, reminds me often, yes, there's 24 hours a day. That's all God said that we needed. That's how we established the world, and we have to ask ourselves, okay, if I didn't get everything done today, did I prioritize? How much of it was God's will? And how much of it was just something I wanted to do for me, for others, or to please God? We've got to prioritize. You see, in God's will, He never gives you more than you can handle. He never gives us more than we can handle. If you cannot handle it, then there is a lack of balance, and you are trying to do too much. I'm guilty. I have too often I try to do too much. But I figure the more that I try to do, at least I got a lot done. But if I'm not careful, I tend to look at what I didn't get done instead of what I did get done. Again, stress can play a role. So take charge of your life. Seek God's wisdom for balance. And number three, get back to the good old days. Boy, I remember when I didn't have a cell phone. I remember when I didn't have a GPS. I remember where I didn't have somebody telling me where to go, when to turn, and have some voice on those little things. But get back to the good old days. Sometimes it's good to get back to just old school technology. You might need it once in a while. A couple things in this area. I remember when our kids were young, we traveled across the U.S., whether it be on vacation or whether doing missionary work, and even traveling across Europe when we were ministering overseas. And you know, we would play various games in the good old days because they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have iPads. They didn't have the other little things they hold in their hands and gadgets they play with. And we would play crazy games. And somehow I mistakenly started a game, not realizing it, on the old TomTom GPS, that every time I went past a certain speed, my GPS would say, moo like a cow. And the kids got tickled. They loved it. And, oh, slow down, Daddy. Then after a while, they liked it so much, they developed another game. And every time we saw a cow on the road, cow, cow, and then a moo, moo. I mean, just kids being kids. And tell you what, it broke up the trip. We had a lot of fun. We built a lot of memories on just the old school, the old ways of not having gadgets. In other words, we were engaged with one another. And it's good for us in areas of stress to make sure that we're engaged with other people. Not just your husband or your wife, which is good, and your family, but also others in your church community and where you live to spend some time together. Again, the kids loved it, and we built a lot of memories. You know, every once in a while, I get in a car for a road trip and think of the good old days when we traveled with a car full of kids. Again, I just think of it. Many times stress is caused by having to do something that you just don't want to do. You just don't want to do it. Like getting in the car on a road trip with a bunch of kids. Today it's not as fun because they've all got their gadgets, they got their little thing, they're all plugged in, they're doing their own little thing, and there's no engaging and talking, and there's no moo or cow or I spy or whatever the games the kids play when we're on the road. So what's the solution? Start doing what you like to do. How often are we doing things that we really don't want to do? We just want to get it off the list. Maybe we need to mix it in with some things that we want to do as well. So, Tony, unless you can't, drag me to the range Tuesday unless you got something else going on. I got to go. I got to shoot something before I shoot someone. Amen. No, I've got this membership. I need to go because it's something that I enjoy. It's a stress release, and again, it's getting back to some of the good old days, a good fun.
I'm not going to be coming Tuesday morning.
Okay. I'll leave my weapon in the car. So start doing something you like doing. I believe that most, if not all of us, enjoy the ministry. We enjoy coming to church. We enjoy the fellowship. We enjoy the choir. We enjoy the special music. We enjoy time together. We enjoy the ministries. And see, there are many aspects of it that are absolutely enjoyable, but there also are some that are not. So we don't burn out doing things that we love to do. It's the things that we don't like that tend to burn us out. So chances are they are important things, the things that we enjoy to do. But let's remind ourselves, and the things that we may need to do are the same that we may dread to do. Sometimes we just have to learn how to say no, or we have to learn how to say get in line or wait. Because if we don't fit some fun in, if we don't come apart, we'll fall apart. And a pastor, your pastor needs you to help him in that area. I need to help you as your pastor shepherd not to overburden, overtax you and ask you, well, you know, the old saying was, well, you want something to get done, find somebody that's already busy. Well, there also might be somebody that is not as busy but wants to be busy. And that comes with wisdom. Now, here are three more tips in dealing with stress and preventing burnout. Number one, create internal anchors. You know, that thing that helps your compass, that gets you back to center, that gets you back to where you need to be, that gets you that direction of home where you're safe, where you're comfortable, where you're relaxed. Why do you do the things that you do? That's a good question helping you internally to create your anchor. Why do you do those things? Have you ever done something right and just knew you were smack dab in the middle of God's will? You just knew. There was no doubt this is where God wants me at this point and this time in life. There's no doubt in my mind. It might just be a trip to the store because God opened up an opportunity. You knew it was God's timing for you to be there at that place at that time or doing that ministry. Do you know the feeling you get when you please God? Well, think about those things. Knowing you're in the center of God's will, knowing that you're doing something that pleases God, those are the things that we should be doing more than the things that we dread. I mean, do we dread pleasing God? I hope not. But there are sometimes things that we dread, and we should ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Do I have to do this? Is it robbing me of my time? Is it something that I should say no to or wait? So in other words, be more concerned about pleasing God than receiving the praise of men, because he matters most. He matters most. Are we going to get a few attaboys along the way? Of course. Who doesn't appreciate an attaboy once in a while? But that's not the reason we should do the things that we do, for the praise of men, but for the glory of God. John chapter 12, verse 42 and verse 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Find your anchor and establish it. Find that thing which you know that pleases God that you enjoy doing. That thing that you know keeps you centered in the will of God and enjoy doing those things. Or return to it when you get stressed and you need the relief. Get back to that thing. You see, the storms will come and you can remain secure and at peace when you know you're in the center of God's will. Serving God is not stress-free. Doing things for the Lord is not stress-free. But it helps us to stay calm in the midst of the storm when we're pleasing and serving Him. So, create internal anchors. Number two, I had to soften this up a little bit. Plug the power leaks. Stop the leeches is what I wanted to say, but plug the power leaks. Make sure that the things that are sucking the life out of you, pulling power away from you, make sure that they're plugged, make sure that they're cared for, make sure that they're taken care of. See, this is what really, really amazing. I should put this passage of scripture in here. Did Jesus not notice when someone touched him, even though there was a throng of people? It pulled power from him. It pulled life from him. He is God. He is God in the flesh. But without a doubt, he knew. And dear friends, we need to understand that we at times may not absolutely at the beginning notice when someone touches us in a sense of pulling our power, but in time we will. Sometimes we do immediately. See, the good pastor and church leader is keenly aware of problems and needy people in their area of ministry. And by the way, not just the pastor, but deacons, others that are involved and engaged in laymen in the church, they notice the needs. And sometimes I don't always see them, but someone may come to me and say, hey, pastor, I don't know if you knew about it, but there's a need, and we'll talk about it. That's part of leadership. But we will notice those problems, but sometimes needy people in their ministry can be overly needy. Some of these people can attach themselves like a leech and suck the power right out of you. Don't misunderstand me. We're to serve everyone. But we also need to be careful in how we do it. And sometimes we might even need to share the ministry. It might be, hey, brother, I have been ministering to this brother. And right now, I just feel so drained. Could you help me minister to him that I can step away? I may have to ask a deacon or another man in the church to do the same for me. We don't know. But you know what I'm talking about if you've been in that position. Some of these people, again, they can just kind of really pull the power out of you, suck your time. See, burnout often results when enough emotional energy has been drained, and then the crashing blow comes to finish the job. See, it's not always just, it's a combination of several things, one after the other, that just attacks the pastor, attacks the layman, attacks the leader of the church, is serving and serving and serving. It's just one thing after another. And all those things separately may not cause the problems, but together, and then one more, could become, bring a crashing blow to finish the job. See, I see two ways to deal with or to plug such power leaks. To fill the plug, to fill the hole, to fill the crack. There's some things that we can do. Letter A, limit and guard the time you spend with those who are high maintenance. You've heard me use that word before. I've been threatening to preach a message on high maintenance church members. But they're there. And we have some good men in the church. Some good men in the church. And they've got a few men that the church that I've spent, I have spent more time with, not because we do everything together, but because they've made themselves available or they're around or they want to spend time with me. They invite me, we're around, or the men's fellowship, the combination of several things. And there's been some that just flat out ask me questions in private. Honestly, and I tell them, or I'll tell them, I don't want to go there. But they ask. And some of those men who know me also notice some things. And there's been some men and some ladies in the church that have come by and said, pastor, I need you for a minute while I'm engaging with someone else, because they felt that person was really taking a lot of time or really going on and on when they know I need to get, because I have a hard time telling people, excuse me, or enough. As a shepherd, I'm supposed to be here for you. I struggle with that. But I don't want to be curtish. I don't want to be harsh. But we have others that have helped me out in that area, and I greatly appreciate it very much. Again, limit and guard the time you spend with those who can be high maintenance. Many will probably never be able to stand on their own and suck your energy levels dry. That's not how it works. Worse than that, you may pick up their energy draining, high maintenance attitude and become an energy drain in your marriage or to your friends and your ministry. It's not the one here and the one there. It's the boom, 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 boom. Sometimes that comes along. And we as well as leaders in the church, we need to minister to one another, but we ourselves also need to remind ourselves sometimes that we not only need to minister to others, there are some times that we need to be ministered to. And some of y'all, I'm going to scan the room so nobody accuses me, have a hard time letting somebody help you. You should. You know, if you don't let me help you when I feel you have a need or someone else, you're robbing me of a blessing. Come on, amen? I mean, if I want to help someone and I'm offering, they're telling me no, well, man, I guess I won't get a blessing out of that. Sometimes it's okay to receive help and to work with someone. Letter B, plug the power leaks. Take the time to plug the holes by retreating. Sometimes it's simply just retreating, stepping back, stepping aside, catching your breath, and allow you to go on. See, part of the wisdom of Jesus in leading his disciples apart was to refresh and restore the energy levels. They also evaluated their effectiveness and probably determined what was the most effective way to prevent energy loss and maintain a highly effective ministry. Think of the drain that must have been put on our Savior when word got out of how he healed people. The crowds, the multitudes, all that came in. Even when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and the great sweat drops of blood, we know what he poured in to the people he ministered to. And when we pour that much out, somewhere along the way, we need to get a refill. Years ago, when Michelle and I first got married, I'm going to tell her myself, she created a high-maintenance husband. It's not my fault. When we first got married, she got me a large glass. I like sweet tea with lemon juice. And she got me a large glass. At the top, it said full. And midway, it said half empty and then empty, something of that nature. There was three levels. So I took it and said, well, huh. So I'll make sure I turned it around when I got a little bit low, make sure she could see it. And if she didn't see it and it got down a little lower, I'd rattle the glass so that ice would rattle. And after a while, she said, you got two legs? And I'm like, well, I thought you gave me this glass for a reason. But no, she kept it topped off. I still to this day drink out of a 32-ounce mason jar, my iced tea, the big mouth jar. watch it. So, again, I said all that to say sometimes we bring things on or create distress ourselves. If we're not careful, you know what the old saying is? You start doing something, you take on a job, you better be prepared to do it forever. But it should be that way in ministry. It's a matter of doing it, and somewhere along the way, the Lord will help you to mentor someone else to do it alongside of you, and then eventually maybe one of you take it or the other take another class or another part of ministry. So limit and guard your time you spend with those that are high maintenance. Take the time to plug the holes by retreating, getting apart, resting, getting away. And then number three, fellowship. We'll finish with that time. We will get through tonight then. Fellowship. Christians meet together for a reason. It's to worship and to fellowship, to spend time together. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. We are to encourage one another. Do you know what it is? Yeah, you do. It is fellowship. How do you describe fellowship? Getting together, laughing, crying, encouraging, praying for one another, just having a good time in the Lord. Why? Because Jesus came apart with his disciples and he preached to them and laughed with them and refreshed with them. I believe that with all of my heart. Could you imagine the stories they shared, the blessings they shared, the excitement the disciples must have had after the feeding of the 5,000? After the healing of the blind man or the lunatic. Well, I can't imagine. It's like, wow, man, God, can you believe what Jesus did today? there had to have been some excitement in the air, but also maybe some concerns and a time to come aside to fellowship and rest. See, our schedule, we schedule fellowships and service times for an occasion that we can get together to fellowship, to worship, to study the Bible together. Take the time to learn, not burn. Let me say that again. Take the time to learn and not burn. You can have a balance. That balance is the key. Real quickly at 7:35, warning signs of burnout. You think you're immune to burnout. Yeah, you probably are on your way. You get physically ill often. You have stomach problems. You get headaches often. Yeah, stress. You know, they say that doctors still don't know the full effects continually on the body with stress that it causes. I mean, where's the science in that? They don't know. But when they can't figure it out, oftentimes they point to stress. Here's one. You hate the telephone. I tell them about you. I sure at times, sometimes I want to lose it. But the times I don't want to lose it, I lose it. You chronically avoid certain people. Number 7, new problems cause you to lose control and or panic. You often think yourself as being incapable. In other words, that lack of self-confidence that can come through stress and through burnout where you just feel like a failure. Your intimate marital relationships suffer because of stress and burnouts. You get demoralized or depressed more than once a week than you might be stressed or burnout. See, if you experience 3 or 4 of these things, I wouldn't know what number I would put this at, but some of these symptoms here regularly, then I think it's time to take a second look at your priorities and your spiritual tuning. Burnout often comes because of a lack of balance. No balance, you'll have burnout. Make sure you have a good balance in life, in ministry, in fun, in rest. Rest. Your body needs the rest. Sometimes Michelle and I will get into a disagreement. We'll lay down after a long week and maybe want to take a nap. When I can't sleep, I just lay there. It don't bother me to lay there. I try to rest my body. I try to relax. I count sheep. I just do all kinds of things. My mind runs, but then I try to shut off my mind to try to rest, but at least my body is resting. Michelle can't fall asleep in 7 minutes. She gets up. She might go make a cup of hot tea, take a hot bath, or go do something laborious because she can't sleep. And I'm the opposite. If I'm over burnout, I'm tired, I have no problem sitting down, I have no problem laying down. If I can't sleep, I'm not likely to get up unless it's a Friday night or a Saturday night and I haven't sent Brother Cena my outline for Sunday. Then I won't be laying down at all. But we all have those moments. So let's make sure that we take time and we balance because we don't want to burn out. We don't want to fall apart. So sometimes we just need to come apart from everything else so we don't fall apart. And sometimes that's with self, being by yourself. There are some days that I don't want to be around anyone else. I love Michelle, but there's sometimes I just want to be left alone. And she gives me that opportunity. And there's other times I just want to get away from everything, put the phones down, put everything else down, and go out and go for a walk. But whatever it is to escape, whatever it is to get away, but make sure that when we get away because we feel like we're being drained, make sure when we get away and have that rest that we refill with the right thing. Because when you get drained and you get discharged, like those rechargeable batteries, they need to be recharged. And that's where that thing comes in about being anchored, is where you go to get recharged. Where you go to get back in the center where you know God wants you, that he can charge you and encourage you and strengthen you to go on for service. Amen? Well, I hope that was a blessing and a help to you. Like I said, we'll transition to more of a study here in the coming weeks on Wednesday night. All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Dave Smith, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?